McConnell is in search. This is not a problem. This is simply about giving his corporate donors what they want. So when I listen to you talk about Steve Smith, and he's talking about this conspiracy to keep, his words, a conspiracy to keep in power, I think it's really important to peel back. Keep who in power? And the answer is the nation's largest corporations who want a green light to, they basically want a license to kill without any liability.
It is Friday, December 11th, 2020. Welcome to Raging Chicken's Out to Coop podcast. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. Each week I talk to asymptomatic coup survivor, Sean Kitchen, about the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. Today's show, if anybody out there is listening right now and there seems to be funky stuff on the audio, or the stuff is too loud or too soft, let me know. I've been having a little issue with that this morning. So anyways, on today's show, it is official. More people died from COVID-19 yesterday than died in the 9/11 attacks. 3,067 people died yesterday. Daily deaths are now higher than any time during the pandemic. The FDA is set to approve the Pfizer vaccine today after an independent panel gave it the thumbs up yesterday. But turns out the Trump administration underordered the Pfizer vaccine because, we don't need too many. I'm fine. A relief package is nowhere to be found as Mitch McConnell demands that corporations be freed from all liability for putting employees and consumers at risk during the pandemic. The AP reports that, quote, an emerging $900 billion COVID-19 aid package from a bipartisan group of lawmakers all but collapsed Thursday after Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said Republican senators won't support $160 billion in state and local funds as part of a potential trade-off in the deal. Apparently, McConnell plans to hold Americans hostage until he gets his top priority corporate liability shield. And Ryan Grimm of The Intercept published audio of a contentious and at times cringeworthy meeting between Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and civil rights leaders from the NAACP. Biden recycled unsubstantiated claims that defund the police caused Democrats to lose House seats. He scolded attendees for suggesting that he take bold administrative action. And he shouted that he was the only one who ran on healing the soul of America. Well, that last one's true at least. That last one is true.
At least Biden's back.
Yeah, at least he's back. God. Crazy, crazy. And in our continued descent into the world of Mad Max, water futures will be soon traded on Wall Street for the first time. Yep, just like oil and gold. The marketization of water scarcity is made possible by the 2-year-old NASDAQ Veles California Water Index. Yeah, what could go wrong with that? Denmark announced an end to oil exploration as it turns away from fossil fuels. Now, there's a positive to offset the water scarcity marketization story. The Texas Attorney General and 18 other attorneys generals are appealing to the Supreme Court to throw out the votes from swing states that voted for Biden. And a brief filed by Pennsylvania's Attorney General Josh Shapiro called the lawsuit a seditious abuse of the judicial process. And he urged justices to send a clear and unmistakable signal that such abuse must never be replicated. And Trump wants Ted Cruz to argue the case.
Because his wife is ugly.
just crazy.
Well, he's better than Giuliani.
Oh my God, the melting man. Oh yeah, Giuliani. Test positive for the COVID. Says he's feeling great after he got the same treatment that Trump had. And for the first time, Newsmax got higher ratings than Fox News. Yes, and it is reported that Newsmax is trying to poach Fox News employees with higher salaries and benefits. Can you say QAnon has made it mainstream? Can you? I don't know. A little closer to home, Governor Wolf announced new COVID restrictions one day after he announced he tested positive for the virus himself as part of routine testing. And the National Guard is called to assist at Mount St. Macrina? Mount St. Macrina Manor Nursing Home in Uniontown, PA, as cases spike. They just don't have enough people to take care of the people. Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman is feeling bad for the simps. His words, not mine. Incoming Senate Majority Leader Kim Ward told the New York Times that, quote, her house would be bombed, unquote, if she didn't put her name on that letter asking Congress to overturn the Pennsylvania election. I have no sympathy for any freaking Republican who signed on to that letter, and I have no sympathy for any Democrat or apologist on the left making excuses for them. Period. Hey, so who are you going to call when you're stealing an election? Ghostbusters! Yes, that's right. It turns out that one of Rudy Giuliani's star witnesses happened to be a ghost hunter, and it gets worse from there. Yes, yes. Jesse Richard Morgan, was the self-proclaimed ghost hunter Rudy named in his lawsuit. And it turns out that Morgan has a long criminal record that includes trying to poison his girlfriend while he was eating pizza. Gotta exercise those demons somehow. My God, my God. And a Bethlehem brewery owner says that he will stay open in the face of new COVID restrictions. Seven Sirens Brewing Company co-owner Josh Drivers told Lehigh Valley Live, quote, we're just not shutting our doors. Having just opened in 2020, just 28 days before the pandemic hit, the brewery did not qualify for any local, state, or federal aid. Put it this way, Drivers said, if we close down for 3 weeks, we lose everything. If we don't close down for 3 weeks, we can lose everything. We're going to talk about some of these choices that small businesses make or are being forced to make in the absence of any kind of competent federal response. And a former owner of Central Penn Business Journal, Dave Schenkweiler, is gearing up for a run for mayor of Harrisburg. Yes, the out-of-town Republican turned Democrat, quote-unquote, hired a conservative firm to handle his messaging and media design of his logo, which strikingly resembles the Pornhub logo. I guess keep things close to home, huh? Huh, Dave? God, don't they ever tell you not to piss in your own backyard? And today's last call, NASA announces the 18 astronauts top for the Artemis mission to the moon. The team of 9 men and 9 women is also one of the most diverse groups of astronauts ever assembled. SpaceX's Starship SN8 test was explosive. Literally. Literally. And FreeWill's got some awesome stuff available for the holidays. I just picked up four packs of their, well, not 4 packs of each, but four packs, right? One of blackcurrant chocolate mash. This next one's for Sean, pumpkin pie mash. The special cookie and Under Red Dawn's Sun. I'll tell you about all them in today's last call. And remind you to tune into the Rick Smith Show on Free Speech TV this Saturday and every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can stream the show live at freespeech.org. Tune in to the Dish Network, DirecTV, or through the Free Speech TV app on Roku. And make sure you subscribe to the Rick Smith Show's daily podcast at iTunes, Podbean, wherever you hit your podcasts. And man, Out the Coop Live is taking off. This is freaking awesome. We had an amazing show this past week. If you missed it, go check it out in the podcast. Go check it out on our Patreon page. I had Shanna Danielson and Tara Shakespeare. And if I was so excited going into the podcast because I've been loving their campaigns. Their campaigns were just freaking awesome. And despite the fact they didn't kind of come out on top and didn't win those things, they had significant impact on it. And to hear them talk about their campaigns and how they're going to view politics in Pennsylvania was so freaking heartening. So get on over there and check that out. Those are two amazing women. They're phenomenal. And this coming Monday, that's Monday the 14th, I've got Paris Marks on the show. We're going to do a special noon show. We were kind of back and forth on scheduling back and forth. Paris Marks is, he's a Canadian, number one, our first international guest, right? And he's the host of the Tech Won't Save Us podcast, which kind of looks at kind of from a left perspective on Silicon Valley and big tech. It's a freaking phenomenal podcast. And one of the things he's also written extensively about, or I don't know if extensively, but he wrote quite a bit about, is about space capitalism. Ring a bell, Sean? space capitalism. I got a guy who's coming on the show to talk about space capitalism to prove that I'm not crazy.
I'm like kind of disappointed you didn't include the space thing I sent you this week in your notes.
I was looking for it and I just misplaced it. I couldn't find where it was.
I'm messing with you.
You should stick it in there because it was good. It was good. It was good.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I'll put it in there now.
Put it in.
Former Israeli space program director says aliens exist.
There you go. Boom. There you go. Yeah, but tune in on this coming Monday at 12 noon. We'll be live at 12 noon, but it will obviously be incorporated within our regular podcast too as well, so you can't make the live show. But that's Paris Marks, host of the podcast Tech Won't Save Us. We'll be on talking about kind of the left perspective on Silicon Valley, the importance of a critical perspective on technology, big technology, and space capitalism. Yes, indeed. And if you want to help this grow and keep it kind of building on what we've kind of started here, well, we need your support. If we want a progressive future, we need progressive media. And you can support Pull No Punches, homegrown progressive media today. Become a member of Raging Chicken Press for as little as $5 a month. Simply go to patreon.com/RC Press and choose your membership level. We're expanding our network. We're exploding on Out the Coop Live, but we need you. We're not asking you to break the bank. We're asking you to become a member for the price of a good beer once a month. Help keep the media in the movement in the media. Become a patron for as little as $5 a month by going to patreon.com/RC Press today. And I'll tell you, if you're listening to on our YouTube page or if you're listening to the podcast, get on over to our YouTube page, search for Raging Chicken on YouTube, and make sure you subscribe, make sure you like the podcast, and you hit that little bell, right? Hit that little bell. What that does, it gives you a notification every time we go live. So you'll never kind of be kind of caught saying, oh man, I missed them once again. So good. So Sean, man, I'll tell you, I have to say there's what we've got in the show notes today is probably a third of what I had tagged because there's just so much stuff happened this week in so many different kinds of directions. And I have to say in ways that was kind of encouraging like that because I shouldn't say encouraging because it was by the news itself was not encouraging. But what was encouraging was the fact that the news is no longer dominated all the time by like what Trump said or what Trump tweeted, right? We're actually kind of slowly turning a lens to like the real crises that are around and what's actually happening.
I feel like that's also been the case over the past couple of weeks in general. I think people, for the large part, have just started ignoring Trump.
Yep.
Since the election's been over and like dealt with and every like legal blow. You know, I don't know if that's a good thing or not. You know, I feel kind of uneasy about that, like, or that we've been getting complacent that Trump is still just saying shit. But, like, it's not getting the attention or the outsized coverage that it is, like, nationally. Like, you know what I mean?
No, I do. But I see for the first time, you actually see major media outlets shifting away from talking just about Trump and actually focusing on the Republican Party as a whole. And like, frankly, that's been where we've needed to be for a long time. So it's like, you know, welcome to the freaking party, you know. But I mean, seriously, I mean, when have we seen the coverage, the critical coverage of Mitch McConnell, what he's doing in terms of these COVID relief bills? When have we seen the kind of coverage of, you know, big chunks of the Republican Party signing on to this freaking insane lawsuit, right? That's being brought by Texas to like overturn the election results.
All southern states, all slave states signed on to it.
Well, there, exactly. I mean, it's like
it's just no. I mean, like it. Yeah, I wonder because, like, I don't know. So I was watching. I watched a clip of our favorite person, Steve Schmidt from the Lincoln Project, this week.
Oh God!
And you could see him like positioning himself, but I mean, like he did say something I think is like really you know important. He's like, and one of the first people like to I guess acknowledge this. Outright on the mainstream media, like I don't watch MSNBC, I don't have cable in my apartment. I pretty much get my news if I get that from them from like through YouTube clips.
Yeah.
So it's probably not the best sourcing, but like, you know, there was a 10-minute segment with Steve Schmidt on Nicole Wallace basically saying like, you know, this coalition that defeated Trump going from Bernie Sanders to AOC to, you know, Biden, the center, the middle, and also to us at the Lincoln Project, you know, pretty much like have to stick together over the next 4 years. And I could totally see him trying to position himself of importance with that. But he said, like, what Trump's doing right now is destroying our democracy. And like, we might not have a free election if we don't stay like on it over the next 4 years.
I guess that's good. Look, I mean, Steve Schmidt is like, you know, he's responsible for a lot of freaking pain.
For a lot of this, yes.
Right? And he's culpable in all this stuff. But the one thing that, you know, I have to say, and I know this won't make me 100% popular with everybody
on this
one. He
seemed like the least shittiest person out of everyone with, like...
I don't know. I mean, how do you measure that, really? I mean, like, seriously. I mean how big is your pile of shit? I don't know. I mean, you know, but I mean, my point is this, is that he's not a dummy, right? And he's very often kind of like on point with his analysis. I fundamentally disagree with like his policies, trajectory, but a lot of times he's like on point and he says things, right, that the freaking Democrats refuse to say.
I mean, like, and also, I guess this sets us up, right? He said what happened over the past month, you know, in this country's history will have a long lasting effect on our democracy.
Right.
And could absolutely like undermine our election system because like what Trump did and the way he's just setting things on fire on the way out the door. And, you know, I like that right there is a spot on analysis because I think that's exactly what we've been saying over the past month.
Yep.
With like the fucking arson that they're going on right now. But and like you still have people trying to bail out the Republican Party.
I'm done within
the fucking Democratic Party. Right. Like, you know, people are talking about like, oh, well, after Trump leaves, you know, Pennsylvanians will have to work together and blah, blah, blah. And this is someone in leadership. And my response was, no, after Trump leaves, we'll have to realize the PAGOP tried to stage a coup. They're fucking horrendous.
They're still trying to stage a coup.
Yes. Yes. They're still trying to stage a coup. Their fucking horrific response to COVID over the past year now has been non-existent in putting businesses forward, and that Trumpism is never going away. And I also responded, like, Democrats need to realize that, like, Trump isn't the problem. Like, the problem is the Republican Party. The Republican Party created Trump. And if we fail to recognize that, we don't exist as a political movement anymore.
Yeah, totally.
Like, and it's like, you fucking idiots need to, like, get your head out of your asses. Like, if you fail to, like, realize that, you are either complicit in like the downfall of this country because either you're too stupid or you don't give a fuck, or like all you care about preserving your personal relationships with these people and the veneer of an institution that you represent instead of like going after the people undermining these institutions and who have been doing it in bad faith politics for the past 40 years.
Absolutely. Because look at this, when we lead the show with recounting that, you know, the COVID tracking project has just, you know, gives us the data that we have over 3,000 people dead in a day from COVID-19, right? Trump did not do that alone, right? The Republican Party, this is on them.
You've had 67 members of the Pennsylvania Republican caucuses sign on to a letter asking Congress to overturn the electors and appoint their own electors here in Pennsylvania. You had more Republicans file more lawsuits this week in Commonwealth Court that got shut down. And then you have like, no, like this is the whole entire Republican Party at large. This isn't like a group of bad faith actors. This is the whole entire fucking institution of the Republican Party.
Right. And at a moment when we see like COVID cases, right, spiking like never before, this is what they're doing.
Yeah. They're trying to overturn an election while
COVID burns. Like, seriously. I mean, this is like, you got to understand, like, okay, I have family who works kind of in the medical field broadly, right? You know, and every day when I talk to them, they're like, it's so bad. It's so bad. And we got to understand two things. Like, number one, it got here because number one, there's been absolutely no coordinated federal plan, right, that has actually kind of like said, this is what we need to do. And secondly, right, the kind of like the conspiracy theories and this freaking bullshit ideological garbage about COVID-19 that has been fostered, cultivated, and repeated, and the flames have been fanned by every freaking Republican across the country. So, yes, not every single individual, but in our own state, the PA Republican Party just... I mean, how many freaking anti-masker rallies that we have? How many times the Republicans in the state house show up with no mask and kind of like demand that, you know, that call Governor Tom Wolf a tyrant to try to do the things that were necessary to keep us safe, right? They are responsible for this. And for those folks who want to sit here and say, well, you know, now we need to work together. What? You got a mass murderer.
What did you
a mass murderer down the street who comes and freaking knocks out half your neighborhood, right? And then what? You wake up the next day and you're like, oh, well, got to work together. Put that behind us. No. Those people need to pay a freaking price.
We need to be civil with each other.
I'm so sick of that. That was, I would tell you, I'm out to Coop Live this past week with, you know, that was one of the best conversations, part of the conversations with Shannon Danielson and Tara Shakespeare was about this civility caucus, right? And I was like, look, you know, I don't know where you guys stand on this, but when I hear these calls for civility, like, my head explodes.
Because like, these calls are people- for civility are Democrats bending the knee to Republicans. That's all this is. Like, Democrats acting like cucks to like use internet slang if we're going to go this way today. Yeah. I mean that's it. Democrats calling for civility right now is them just cucking themselves out of power. It is just fucking ridiculous. Like, it is like,
well, like, and, it, are, and, it's, and it's doing, I should, you know, be clear here too as well, it does it in a couple different ways too. Right. Because it does it. Not only does it do it by kind of like, you know, we were talking about this before the show. It was like, on the one hand, you think about this. You're one of these communities that has been assaulted for the past 4 years, longer than that. Like, I mean, just let's kind of do with the worst of the assault recently. You've been assaulted. Your immigrant communities, right? You're kind of like your people of color, right? Your people that are kind of like on the margins, and when it comes to your kind of your your wages, that you're kind of making minimum wage, you're trying to make right across the board. You've been assaulted for the past 4 years. Right. And now the Democrats, who are supposedly be the ones who are going to champion those issues, they're saying like, oh, yeah, I know we were with you back then. But now we need to work with the people who
we need
doing
to work with
to
the
you.
People who just try to disenfranchise, you know, half the fucking state's electorate.
Yeah. We hear where you're angry about getting killed by police. We hear that you're angry that your businesses are going out. You're going out of business because you've got no fun. You're angry that
you're
kind
upset
of
about this whole election.
Police have disappeared
thing.
Your relatives, right? But we got to go talk civilly to those people that were doing it to you, because that's what we do. You just lost those people. You basically said it's not worth it. That we will not fight for you. And then, on the other side of things, this gets to Sean's the internet slide. On the other side of things, you get these right-wing nut jobs who are kind of out there, and they're going to look at the Democrats, basically come up and say, like, you know, kissing the ass of Republicans, say we need to work together, and you'd be like, what freaking wimps? That's who the Democrats, they won't even fight for you. And that emboldens them. They know the consequences for their actions.
Like,
right?
Democrats have been bending the knee for 40 years,
I mean,
to the Republicans.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We didn't. I swear to God, we didn't mean
this
to start
wasn't
off
in
like
the notes.
This, but I mean, it's like, yeah. I mean,
like, then like also like the story about Dianne Feinstein this week. Did you see that story? By Jay Meyer.
Shit, we didn't put that in. Yeah.
No.
I saw that. What the hell's going on with that?
Like, I mean, like, it just exasperates the problem. Like this type of stuff, like there's a reporter I'm friends with in the Capitol, RB Swift. I haven't really got to see him for a while because he's like in his 60s, but he's an awesome person. And, you know, before all this happened, he said something along the lines like, this might be our last election and we have like one shot to get this right.
Yeah.
So I think he was like 50% correct. I think this is our last election. Like, the way things are happening now. Like, how are these people going to act in 2022? How are these people going to act in 2014 or 2024? Like, these people aren't going to take a loss seriously.
Right.
Like, even if they do lose, like, if Mastriano gets blown out by 20 points, like, are they still going to accept the results of those elections?
Of course not.
Like, and we've enabled them to do that.
Can we talk about the Feinstein thing for a second? I mean, just because I think this is the flip side of this. You know, I mean, Sam Cedar, the Majority Report, has been arguing for a long time is that, you know, okay, look, there's an idea. There's the ideological issue, like, within the Democratic Party, right? There's that's going on. But what he keeps on pointing to is just your basic political competence. Right. Take the ideology out of it, but just basically what it means to actually do politics. Right. And part of what you do in politics, one of the main things you do is that when you've got kind of like an intransigent, like, kind of other side and you're in the opposition, you need to kind of like make the other party pay a price when it does really bad shit. Right. And there's a reason why I put Katie Porter, like, it's 2 weeks in a row now. Katie Porter was our sound kind of coming in today on the intro. Right. It's because, like, that's messaging from an opposition party. Right. That's messaging from an opposition party. When you have Democratic Party leadership, however, who start talking about civility and all this other kinds of stuff, they don't know how to do politics. And what's worse, the incompetence, right, is that it turns out there's a piece that came out by Jane Mayer. Right. That basically talked about, you know, and again, a piece like this does not come out unless you've got
based on like flimsy sources.
No. Right. And the thing is that this means that there are people within the Senate leadership or within the Senate Democratic caucus who recognize the problem and nothing's happening with it. And so they're looking for a way to do it. So they'll turn to freaking journalists. So it turns out that it's been, I had no idea of this before. Turns out that it's been a kind of like an open secret Democratic caucus that Dianne Feinstein is basically is failing.
Fucking brain dead.
Well, she has had noticeable signs. And Jane Mayer first pointed this out. She was going back. There was a hearing that was back in the spring. And she asked a question, right, of the person in this hearing, right? It's on the judiciary. She asked them a question, right? And then later on, it's her round again. And she comes back with like the exact same question. Like she asked it in the same way. Right. No acknowledgement that she had just asked it. And apparently that was a flag for Schumer and some other people who actually had to pull her aside at one point and basically were like, look, I'm going to do this. And finally, it wasn't that she just stepped down for the Judiciary Committee. She was basically told that she needs to step down because her mental faculties are failing. And look, this is a horrible thing to happen to anybody.
Yes. No, it is. And it is. I mean, the whole entire it highlights that we shouldn't be hanging on to people like Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, and Steny Hoyer into their 80s and 90s. Like, just like full stop, like that right there. Like, they are impediments to progress. Like, they are actual roadblocks to younger, more progressive politicians getting in office and better leadership.
No, but that's like, true. I agree with that 100%. Like, but you're talking about just a basic, I mean, look, you're this is
and this is Chuck Schumer's fault for keeping her on during the Comey Barrett hearings.
And we know that as a result of her going up and hugging Lindsey Graham at the end of it and talk about how this is the best hearing that she's ever been part of, Amy Coney Barrett's ratings went up. Her poll numbers went up. Her popularity increased as a result of those hearings. And there were Democrats who were like, what the hell did she just do? How can you close a hearing by praising Lindsey Graham?
I have friends who live in D.C. and all through social media who are consultants. And even everyone in D.C. that day, like on the Democratic side, were like, what the fuck was that all about? Like, that was the whole entire response from the consultant class in D.C.
Well, that's
from your party.
And that's what ultimately did her in. I mean, I think after that, it was like there was so much pressure on Schumer. And then Schumer's still like failure to kind of act and failure to move it forward is why that whoever it was went to the press, went to Jane Mayer, right, from The New Yorker, and basically laid it out. And basically went, I mean, they're not named in the article. Some of them, I think they're kind of comments on it, but they went and basically laid it out and said, this has been a problem for a long time. Everybody's known about it. And we've encouraged like Schumer to kind of pull her from a position, but she wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. And after several hard, long conversations, I mean, could you imagine having to have that conversation with somebody? I mean, that's a horrible conversation to have anybody. Right. But the fact is that, look, if
people
want to care
online,
for somebody,
like you are, but also like you are leadership of a deliberative body and people's like fucking livelihoods are on the line if you make the wrong decision.
Totally.
Like,
I mean, look, for her sake and for the sake of freaking everything
your
that
constituents.
She's exactly for the freaking country. Like, I'm sorry, but you're not just a grandma. Like, you know, I mean, we keep my grandma at her home. Right. And if she wants to kind of like, you know, forget things and things like this, as long as she's not a danger to herself, that's fine. Wait, we'll deal with that. However, right, if my grandma's a pilot, right,
also
flying people
at,
around the world, right, I don't want her in the pilot seat. Because I don't want the rest of the freaking people to die, right?
I mean, this is like the Democratic Party's play just in general. I mean, they wanted to put Arlen Specter, who was almost Jesus in the same situation, like Arlen Specter as a Democrat, like in office because, like, dude was like 80 years old and had health complications. Like, I mean, like, this is what Democrats do. We put, like, I mean, I've seen it here in Harrisburg. Like, you know, there are extremely old people in the caucuses who have been basically told you cannot run again because either, like, they're still driving themselves to Harrisburg, they can't fucking see. Like, they need staffers to drive them to, like, the Capitol. Like, no, it's just, yeah.
Dude,
like,
you know, I mean, look, I'm not as tapped into Harrisburg as you are, right? But, I mean, I know these stories, right? I mean, seriously. I mean, and not just through you, from other people. I mean, about, like, you know, representatives who talk to plants, for example. Right? I mean, that happens, and people know about it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, and they let people go on. Right.
I mean, I'd be talking to plants.
It's the worst kind of, like, it's the most superficial bullshit kind of like understanding of how you care for someone, like that you say, like, oh, but, you know, this is all they have. And so if we do that, you know, we'll just let them do that. That is disgusting.
We'll let them go out the pasture.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, I hope this is something that if this is all true, that she is kind of like failing mentally. Right. Then that changes a lot of how harsh I would be on her, right? Even like the picture of her, like, was in the Capitol like a couple weeks back, of her out there talking without a mask with a bunch of people and things like this. Who the hell knows what state she was in during that conversation?
Yeah, no, I mean,
and so like, I feel horrible that she has been put in that position, and you have nobody around her that's been willing to kind of like say, you need, for your own good and for the good of the country, you got to step down from those positions. Okay, you just won your election. What are you going to do? We would strongly encourage you to resign, but at the very least, we got to take you off these leadership positions because you cannot be directing them if you don't have it all together. And that's sick. That's sick that the Democratic Party leadership put her in that position. And
there's one other story I know we didn't get to put in here I wanted to ask you about. Doug Jones for Attorney General. What is your thoughts on that? It seems like everyone is coalescing around that to be a really good idea. It seems like the MSNBC crowd is really liking it, but also like progressives and liberal activists seem like it's a wise pick compared to the other names that were being tossed out there.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I didn't know a whole lot about him when it, like in his capacity as, you know,
a civil rights prosecutor.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I knew some of that, but as I've been reading more about his background or hearing some, you know, who folks that I kind of generally trust, you know, in terms of their commentary and their perspective on stuff, he does seem pretty solid. I mean, I can't come up with another name right off the top of my head, Larry Krasner, that might have been good in that position, but no, I mean, I don't, but you know what I mean?
But do you put someone like a, can you also trust him to like rebuild the Justice Department, or are you looking just to build a clean slate at that point?
Well, yeah, it's a really good question.
I
have to say I'm encouraged a little bit simply by the fact that there hasn't been really strong pushback about him. There seems to be, it's a remarkable kind of
it seemed like the corporate lawyer that name that got thrown out there last week.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like
got sunk pretty quickly, and Doug Jones's trial balloon seemed to have taken off.
It's interesting, right? And I think that, you know, and I have to say, what's interesting about his pick is if he has the trust of like folks within the civil rights community. Right. And, you know, he's like, you know, because, you know, like the Democratic leadership and corporate Democrats fetishize having like a Democrat from the South. Right. So that it kind of like it ticks some buttons for them because they can basically say, you know, we've got a Southern, you know, person out of here. So whatever. We got our Southerner, too, as well. That's good. You know,
but it seems like he has a decent track record.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see how this plays out, how going forward. I mean, I think that's that was an interesting one.
And then,
On that score, I should say that, you know, if we're talking about picks from Biden, I don't know if everybody saw this, but there was audio. What's that?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I
was going to talk about Buttigieg. You know, did you get your ambassadorship to China?
Oh, to whatever. Man. He's whatever.
The fact that he would ask for that.
Well, did you see that there's all the – I mean, have you seen all the stuff that's been coming out with McKinsey this week about the OxyContin?
No, I haven't. But
well, basically McKinsey, you know, that's where Buttigieg worked, right? You know, came out of that particular school. Basically, you know, they basically ran like the PR stuff and messaging around kind of OxyContin, pushing to get more of that stuff out there. Right. For the company. Why am I what's the name of the company? I'm just spacing the name.
Purdue Pharma.
Purdue Pharma. Yeah. Ran kind of basically made suggestions and strategized about how to get more of it out there. Right. Now they've come out and kind of apologized. Right. They come out and apologize for their role in it. Yeah. They're more like, they're like, oh shit, we're screwed because some of the biggest kind of, awards have been made from the lawsuits against Purdue Pharma. So anyways, so that's what I always have in my mind when I think Pete Buttigieg these days. So
McKinsey's such a horrible fucking organization. Yeah.
So so I want to just basically say this is what concerns me more than anything else, right? Is that on the one hand you got something like Doug Jones, but there this audio that was given to Ryan Grimm from The Intercept. It was recorded, it was supposed to be a private behind the scenes kind of frank conversations, and it was with civil rights leaders from the NAACP, got pretty contentious at times. And, you know, some of those worst moments in the campaign when Biden was kind of really didn't seem like he kind of read the room right, right? Or didn't realize kind of what he was saying and how that would be bad. I mean, there was some really troubling issues that came up there. And one of the most interesting was around his appointment to the kind of the secretary of agriculture position. Right. Cause what's the guy's name? Vilsack.
Vilsack.
So there's a long history of Vilsack kind of, doing some really messed up stuff, like Shira Sherrod, basically. Right. Basically he was the head of the agency when he fired her because that Breitbart leaked this statement that she had made that made it sound like that she was, you know, discriminating against white farmers in favor of black ones, right? But then, like, a few days after Vilsack comes and fires her, like, turns out the whole video, the whole thing is released. It turns out it's a story of redemption and being able to see how important it is to fight for everybody, right, who is poor and farming, right? And these folks from the NAACP were trying to tell Biden, hey, you know, you might want to rethink this or at least talk to some black farmers about the perspective, because Sherrod's kind of like an icon where we come from. So to put that guy back in the office is probably sending the wrong message, but whatever. But in that same talk, he basically rehearses the stuff about how defund the police is the why got a Republican or Republicans beat Democrats.
Okay, so
bad.
I want to talk about this defund the police thing.
Yeah.
So Mark Steer put a really good thing up on his Facebook post last week. You know, like, okay, he's like, I don't think defund the police was that great of a slogan, but if we're going to start blaming activists and, you know, things Democrats did, and if we're going to start blaming sloganeering by the activist left, like, why aren't Democrats blaming the failed impeachment that they did nothing over, the impeachment about nothing that pissed off the Republican base, if not more than like defund the police.
Yep.
Like, or the other missteps of the Democratic Party over the past 4 years.
Yep.
Of just saying Trump bad banned for 4 years, and now we're stuck with, you know, a Republican Senate because no one tied a fucking anchor around these people.
Or for that matter, if you really want to talk about messaging and bad messaging, you know, guess what the Republican Party said all over the country, right? And almost all, every single race, right? One of the biggest things that they did in order to win their election, you know what it was, Sean?
Nancy Pelosi?
Nancy Pelosi, right? They said, like, their friend with Nancy Pelosi and her.
That's the first thing, like, that's the first thing of politics or rhetoric, like, you know, make a villain. Like,
totally.
Rules of radicals. Like, what's that? Like, the top one is like, name a villain?
Exactly.
Yeah, like, and the Democrats refused to name Mitch McConnell as a villain.
Right. But the bigger point, though, is if you want to have any kind of consistency, right, whatever, then guess what your bigger problem? Your bigger problem is not defund the police of a slogan from activists. Your bigger problem is Nancy Pelosi. If you're going to, if that's the logic you're going to use, and I'm not suggesting that you should, but if that's your logic, if that's all you got in terms of political strategy, is like words that kind of rub people the wrong way, then Nancy Pelosi needs to be removed from her position, right? That's an absurd way to make decisions in politics, right? I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with it. They did that, but it, so whatever. I mean, it's just, it's so bad.
Yeah.
So whatever. I didn't mean to go down these rabbit holes today. It's weird how this happens. I mean, it's like, you know, I've been in a grading hole all week, right? And I'm reading this stuff on the side, and so a lot of stuff has been pent up.
I don't know about you. Well, like I just wanted to let you know, I really haven't done a fucking thing since the election's been over.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Just
doesn't surprise me. I mean, you better work a lot. You know, it's like, you deserve a few months off, Sean.
I got, you know, phone calls here and there, but like I've been enjoying this downtime.
Which I'm sure you get those phone calls. I'm sure you resent that. I could get on this freaking phone call.
I actually enjoy the couple phone calls I have a week. You know, just to be able to see everyone through the computer screen.
Yeah, now you're just trying to keep your job. That's all. I'm kidding. No, I know what you mean.
Hey, I gotta keep the grift going.
Gotta keep it going. So let's say one more thing I want to kind of touch on before we head off into their break is Newsmax. Sean, why don't you take
this one?
Speaking
about grifters.
Yeah, why don't you take this one?
So, I mean, like, we talked about this last week or for probably the past couple weeks. Fucking anyone could have seen this coming. But Newsmax now is, like, starting to get higher ratings than Fox News. And I don't know how true that is. Like, I don't even know where Newsmax is at, like, on the Xfinity dial. Like, I don't know if it's, like, in the 100s or something. I don't even know if it exists. Like, you can get it on wherever. But, like, no, I mean, Newsmax is going to be a force to deal with on the right. They fucking radicalized Fox News,
right.
Radicalized their base so much to the point where they're jumping ship and start their own news outlet because Fox News isn't batshit crazy enough for them.
Exactly. So it's like what the One America News, right? Or One America Radio?
It's different. That's OAN.
OAN. That's the other one, right?
Yeah. So OAN, I think, was that, wasn't it that government one or no?
Oh, God. No, I think.
No, that was Voice of America.
That was Voice of America, the One America News.
I don't even know, like, but like OAN popped up over the past couple of years. That's the other one that's getting big. Like, I thought it would have been OAN. I mean, between Newsmax and OAN, I had my horse, heard my carriage on AON.
Yep.
But yeah, these people are fucking insane.
They're going with the formula, right? This is the formula is like, hey, look, this worked, and guess what? Fox News,
Rupert Murdoch made the playbook.
Yep, and I'll tell you, when Fox News came out and called Arizona for Biden, that was it. That's why there's all these Trumpers out there. Fox News sucks. Fox News sucks.
Oh, that was the thing that like fucked up their plans the most. I guarantee you, like Fox News calling Arizona.
Totally.
When Fox News called Arizona, I was just like, I almost thought it was a mistake. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we called it. It's going to be fun to watch.
It's going
to
be, it's going to be something. It's going to get, it's going to get crazier, right? So the show in particular was this guy. His name is Greg. I have to start. I would just get like dip my feet in just to kind of watch this a little bit, just to kind of see what's going on.
I mean,
on
they have like Jack Posobiec on there, like the Pizzagate fucking truther. Like they got some crazy fucking alt-right, alt-light grifters.
Big time.
Yeah. Like these people are fucking, it's amazing how massive the right-wing propaganda machine has gotten.
Oh my God. So, yep. 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 Still crazy. Now, don't worry. For those of you Fox News supporters out there, listening to our show for whatever reason, Fox is still number one. Fox beat Newsmax on many other shows, but not that one. And all the other shows on Newsmax, while they're not beating like the main, you know, kind of like late night primetime commentary and stuff that you get on Fox News, they have increased their numbers.
And they one of the things I wonder is if you start comparing the number of reach and impressions like a Newsmax or OAN gets compared to Fox.
Yep.
That's where I want to see, like, because we still do like a Nielsen's rating system on TV, but like, I want to know like where, how hard they're penetrating, like these organizations are penetrating in the social media and like the YouTube and Twitter, because it's like, that seems like where it's like their shit gets off the most. And like, I it's hard to believe that like Fox News has a lick in that realm, but that stuff's not like monetized either. So
crazy, crazy. Well, so there you go. So so now we've got something to look forward to for the next kind of 4 years, right? Because now that's what Newsmax is going to do. They're going to build up around that.
So does Fox News trip? Does Fox News go crazier, or do they moderate themselves?
I said this last time. Last time we talked about this, I said I think they're going to go after the CNN audience. I think what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to. I think they know.
I mean, the people at that point are just fucking lost beyond. Like, you're never getting them back.
Right. They're not right. And I don't think the thing is here. Look, it's all about money. Right. And so if Fox News went too far towards Newsmax, then
they would lose advertising.
They're going to start losing advertising dollars. Right?
Like major, right. Respectable.
So what they're going to do, in my view, right, is that they're probably going to try it. They're going to have some shows that are going to keep their, you know, like Tucker Carlson and things like this that are going to be the kind of respectable, like, you know, bridge to the Newsmax audience, right? And then they're going to start with their kind of news shows, right, in the kind of like, you know, the news thing, not the commentary side, but they're going to try to peel off CNN. They're going to try to go after some CNN audience to try to build up that audience there. That'd be my guess. And so then CNN is going to get squeezed a little bit. So, you know, that's how I see that playing out.
It's going to be interesting to see where MSNBC goes with their new CEO. Now, did you see that?
No, I didn't.
So Phil Griffin is gone.
Good, thank
from
God.
NBC.
Good.
They hired an African American woman as the new president. Yes. Let me get the.
I did not see that. For those why Sean's putting that up, Griffin was the guy basically came on NBC when he took over NBC, was responsible for kind of getting rid of a lot of the progressive shows on the on MSNBC and moving it more to the right. Believe that going in a kind of more conservative direction was the future of MSNBC. And so, you know, you have a few shows there that were the kind of vestiges of the progressive agenda or the progressive kind of push at MSNBC kind of from its earlier days. And then that kind of like a pulled back under Griffin.
So it is Rashida Jones. Phil Griffin was there for 25 years. Rashida Jones, who's senior vice president of NBC News and MSNBC, will be taking over. And she'll become the first prominent black woman to ever like lead one of the cable networks.
Interesting. Interesting. I don't know much about her.
Or maybe a major media network as well.
What's that?
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully like... hopefully like this new leadership brings in more progressive viewership at MSNBC, you know, and hopefully we see more stuff along the intersections. Like she played a really good part with Justice for All and the climate and crisis. So maybe we start seeing like more intersectionality with race, climate and stuff like that on like the programming.
Well, that'd be cool. Well, I think, look, I think that, you know, okay, given the kind of perspective, the, you know, the particular version of kind of liberal politics represented on MSNBC, I could, and the recent moves that they made, for example, Joy Reid's been giving her own kind of like a fairly high profile show, kind of leading into the Chris Hayes' All In. Given the fact, you know, that Democrats have often said, you know, like, you know, demographics favor us, right? I could see them making that move. And they've been kind of, you have to give them credit. They've been doing pretty good on this score about kind of bringing in more and more diverse voices. Like, for example, you watch
Chris Hayes. Bring back Melissa Harris Perry.
I loved her. I really did. I loved her show.
We had to bring her back. Like,
I mean,
bring back.
She was great. I mean, I like when Melissa Harris Perry, and then you had Chris Hayes in the mornings on Saturdays. That was a great, great lineup. I used to get up early actually to watch those shows. But you know, so I mean, I think I could imagine them going that direction, and that would be a huge service, right? To basically platform, right? These kind of like amazing journalists and kind of researchers and academics and of all the out there that are, and politicians that are, you know, people of color, women, and to kind of really kind of foreground that. I think that would be a really smart move. The question, you know, what happens in terms of its political leanings? That's another question. I think the tendency of MSNBC is to want to kind of like stay in the center of the Democratic Party. So what, you know, whatever that means, but you know, we'll see. Anyways, we got off the thing. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into some stuff a little bit more closer to home. I want to remind you that you can become a patron of Raging Chicken by going to patreon.com/rcpress. You can also, right, just go to paypal.me/rcpress, paypal.me/rcpress. If you're not kind of ready to become a member, right, you don't want to kind of give us that $5 once a month to become a patron, get access to exclusive content on Patreon and all that stuff, but you still want to support the show, you can hit us up at paypal.me/rcpress, and you can give us a donation in any amount that would be highly, highly appreciated. And if you're listening to us on YouTube, or if you listen to our podcast, get on over to our YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that little notification, so every time we go live, you know about it. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. We'll be back right after this quick break.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 2012. That was the day that Michigan Governor Rick Snyder signed right-to-work legislation into law. The birthplace of the United Auto Workers Union had just become the 24th state to pass legislation that guaranteed the open shop and the prohibition of mandatory dues collection. More than 10,000 trade unionists gathered in Lansing that day to express their outrage. The only source of income that unions have is their dues base. Without it, unions can't adequately represent their members. Work of unions isn't just about effectively negotiating a contract. It also includes fighting contract violations, excessive discipline and wrongful discharges, and enforcing safety and good working conditions on the job. All of this suffers under right to work. But this is nothing new. Right to work laws have their roots in fighting the Wagner Act and the CIO organizing drives throughout the South in the 1940s. The Texas billionaire and lobbyist Vance Mews fought hard against child labor laws, the eight-hour day, and even the right for striking workers to picket. Pro-segregationist Democrats, cotton brokers, Fred Koch, the DuPont brothers, Gerald Sloan of General Motors, and others supported him in his efforts. His organization, the Christian American Association, was closely aligned with the Ku Klux Klan. Mews argued that segregation could only be maintained by enforcing the open shop. Otherwise, whites would be forced to interact with blacks. He said, quote, "From now on, white women and white men will be forced into organizations with black African apes whom they will have to call brothers or lose their jobs." The wealth class has spent millions of dollars over 60 years to defeat working people and reverse hard-fought gains. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
We are back. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. I'm here once again with Sean Kitchen. Biggest news of the week, I guess, kind of locally here, is that Governor Wolf has announced new restrictions, new COVID restrictions. That means there will be no more indoor dining. That means that their indoor gatherings are limited to 10 people. The outdoor gatherings are limited to 50 people. School sports from K through 12 sports have been put on hold until January. Schools will remain open. But you know, these restrictions are
mitigation efforts,
right? I mean, they're hitting.
I know it's
they're hitting people really hard, and this comes after the day after he found, you know, as part of routine testing for the coronavirus, he tested positive for the virus on Wednesday. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, it's every literally. I mean, this shit is everywhere right now.
So we're actually calling them mitigation efforts. That's the lingo we're using instead of restrictions, just because it's like.
No, it's better. I mean, that is better. That is definitely better than restrictions, because the restrictions are basically what people keep on talking about.
Yeah.
I want to get to. I'm not going to do this right now. But as kind of we close out this section of the show, I want to talk a little bit about Seven Sirens, a brewery up in Bethlehem, because it just I was really just like.
Al from Pizza Boy put a post up on his page the other day, basically saying he was fuck the governor, he's not closing.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Which is just basically like, I mean, like I got into it like with a couple of other people, because it's just like, no, I mean, like the Republicans, the people you should be going after are the Republicans. You did absolutely nothing by sitting on $1.2 billion in CARES Act money, federal money that's supposed to go for restaurants, and they use it to plug budget holes. Like, that's what the Republicans did with your money. Like, you know, the thing is, it's like restaurants aren't shutting down because of the lockdowns and mitigation efforts. Restaurants are shutting down because there's a fucking pandemic going on.
Right.
That's happening uncontrollably. And people aren't really going out. Like, I've been getting takeout throughout this. But, like, you know, like, even every time I go into my bar across the street, no one's sitting down. There might be like one person in there sitting down at the table, but like no one else is doing that.
Right.
Like people are, for the most part, are generally staying in.
Yeah. I'm going to do it now. Let me just talk about Seven Sirens Brewery right now and why this kind of preoccupied me, because it's exactly the kind of thing you said. So the guy who's, I want to be clear. I've never been there. The reason this came out up on my feeds was because I saw that they opened 28 days, right? Seven Sirens Brewery opened in Bethlehem, opened 28 days before all the kind of the first lockdowns came up because of the pandemic, right? So they literally had just opened up. And they had been building this for a while and all this kind of stuff. And I saw that they come on, so I kind of liked them on Facebook and, you know, I follow them on Twitter and that kind of stuff. And this came up in my feed. One of the co-owners, Joshua Drivers, was on 69 News. Then he got Lehigh Valley Live, interviewed him too as well. But it was really what got me is really what he posted to Facebook. And I want to read this one section and then we'll kind of go on. But it says, he says, deep breath, here we go, and talks about it. And I'm going to read this one paragraph he writes. He says, this year has been devastating for so many people. This virus has taken many lives and is on the verge of tearing apart society as a whole. After 3 years of blood, sweat, and tears, we opened our doors 28 days before the pandemic. Due to being a new business, we were ineligible for any local, state, or federal aid. The last $1.3 billion of federal CARES aid went to balance the state's mismanaged budget, not to the people suffering the most. I can think of 26,000 small businesses throughout the Commonwealth that could have used $50,000 each to join a coordinated effort to temporarily close and help get us through the winter. Regrettably, that didn't happen. With your help, we have gotten this far, but another shutdown just isn't an option for us. And thousands of other small businesses throughout the country will simply not survive. We were not downplaying the severity of the virus. This is a decision based solely on what is best for our families in a time of emergency. and after speaking to our bank, staff members, families, attorneys, and local government officials, we have decided that we will not comply with future shutdown mandates. We will continue to operate with the same proven safe measures implemented 5 months ago. Right? And kind of it goes on from there. And as I read in the intro, right, basically says, like, look, we're going to lose everything one way or another. And they're well aware they're going to be facing fines, right? Especially if you kind of get the liquor license pulled, then you're in violation of the ABV, could face time in jail, right? Kind of couldn't do this. I look at that, and again, this is, I know nothing about this guy's politics. I know nothing about this other stuff like this, but that story, in the absence of any kind of coordinated federal aid, because the thing is, look, last night, I can't remember who it was on, I think Chris Hayes' show, and they put it really well, said, look, the federal government does not operate like a kitchen table, right? You know, like a household, right? It doesn't basically say, here's this money that comes in, and that's the money we have to spend, and then we spend it. That's not the way the federal government works. The federal government is the one who's basically prints money. The only reason that money exists is because the federal government kind of makes it so, right? So there's that. States, however, do not have that authority. States can't print money, right? So states are restricted by what they come into, right? The money that comes in. And so we have Republicans for decades now who have been cutting, taxes, have been streamlined government. You basically put people in a situation, there's no money to go around, right? And without kind of the federal aid that comes in, be going up right out to people, there's nothing. So here you've got somebody. So put us politics aside here. What do you do in that situation? If you've actually invested your livelihood into this business, and because of some little freaking, like, you know, glitch, you don't get access to any of the aid because you're a new business. Right? They chose, that brewery chose to keep its employees on. Right? It chose not to get rid of people, to pay people, right? And the community came out and kind of supported them as best they could. But now what do you do? If you're at your end now, you've gone as far as you can go, and if you shut down, you have actually no money coming in, right? There's no relief aid happening, as we see right now. We talked about at the top of the show. What do you do? And this is what happens. This is the state that we're in right now. We've got basically,
it's Mad Max. It is.
That's what I'm saying.
It is Mad Max. It is the Hunger Games. It's like every man for himself. I really hope that, like, when we get out of this, we see that, like, hey, we should actually be investing in community and stuff like that. Like, you know, like, we have no sense of community. It's all about individualism in this country.
Well, and that's just it. And then it starts pitting people against each other, right? Exactly as you're saying. Like, let me give you an example. This is some from the comments in their Facebook. What really got me were the comments the comments to that post.
And Al did, you know, follow up and say that he is actually going to be following with the orders. So, which is good.
There you go.
I'm sure he was just as mad, like, getting this stuff, but it's like, you know, like, you're friends with these Republicans in office, but, like, these were the same people who denied moving CARES Act money. Like you're asking people to do stuff, and your friends who are Republicans have not done a fucking thing.
No, exactly. So, like, let me read these two things, right? I just want to get to these things, and because I don't want to spend too much time on this one issue. But so you have, I'm not going to read the names of these people, okay? But one comment is this: no one says you have to close your doors. People can get takeout only. A huge difference. If people want to help businesses, then buy takeout, right? So there's that one. And then you've got another one here is like this: enough is enough. Our industry has suffered enough already. We, the people, must stand up and protect our constitutional rights of freedom. I personally applaud your decision to boycott the future mandate sent down from a horrible dictator of a governor. You and your family are true patriots, and may the wind be at your back. Okay? And without reading any more, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there where people saying, like, I didn't even know about you, but now I'm coming there. You're a patriot, right? And it's also, I forgot to mention, it's also a veteran-owned business, right? So basically now you've got all these anti-maxxers and Trumpers who see this, and now they're going to be flooding to this place because they see this as a cultural battle. This is cultural warfare,
mask versus no mask.
Right. Like, and now they're going to converge on this place where you have this company that's just trying to stay afloat. And now it becomes the standoff of super spreaders. Right.
Yeah. Now.
I mean, think about that. And that's and all of that could have been prevented. And, you know, again, I wish I could remember the name of this guy. He was on Chris Hayes last night, and he's been doing this comparative reporting, looking at the U.S. responses to these, you know, and the response to the other countries.
I mean, like, they're already smashing their curve. Like, they hit the second, yep. Like, countries in Europe hit the second wave, and they're already smashing their curve. Like, well, we're still, like, just fucking exploding exponentially.
Right, here's what they say, right? They say, like, well, how are they able to do it?
They have a sense of commons.
They have a sense of having a plan, right? Yeah. They basically say, well, look, we have this spike, right? And because we have this spike, we need to mitigate those. So we need to mitigate that, which means we need to close these things down. So if we know we're going to have to close these things down, we have these relief packages that are going to keep all this stuff afloat. Everyone's going to get paid, right? They planned. So the mitigation efforts is coupled with, you know, an acknowledgement and a response to what the impact is going to be on everyday people. In this country, it's just what Sean said. It's like everyone's out there as an individual. And now we got the freaking, like, you know, the kind of like the seeds of Mad Max getting planted everywhere across this country. And like I said, I don't know the politics of this guy. I know they use local ingredients. They use organics when they can. They kind of really invested stuff.
I probably wouldn't be surprised if they're conservative leaning because they're, but like still, I mean, it's just like, it's,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, it's just like, it is we are intentionally doing this because we don't have a response, or this is the response, like die for your economy. This is it. This is what dying for the economy looks like.
It's crazy.
And all while this is going on, like, I guess could say, like, the Republicans have just doing nothing but simping for Trump.
Well, I don't know if you saw, I got my new do here. I got my I got my Fetterman beard going for me this week. It was actually, I should say, it's actually unintentional. I know you can't see me if you're listening to the podcast, but if you're watching on YouTube. Is that I gave myself a haircut this week and I had my glasses on. I picked up the long attachment and I started shaving trimming my mustache. And it turns out I basically shaved off half of it. So I'm like, oh, well, I'm
You did
well
a
go.
Good job on the fade up top.
I tried. It took a while. That actually took the most time. And I was freaking exhausted too. And I'm like, what the hell? Right. So then I saw Fetterman comes out with his, like, you know, I'm feeling bad for the simps this week. And I'm like, oh, so I guess it's a Fetterman solidarity do that I got going for me.
So last night, you know, I was doom scrolling and it wasn't really doom scrolling. Is this thing like popped up to the top of my list, you know, right? Yeah. Smoking a little of this, drinking some whiskey, and like, it was the first thing I saw. Just like, oh my god, you just called them a bunch of simps.
So give, like, people a context for what that was a response to.
It's pretty much like calling someone, I don't know.
No, not
like,
the simp, but what was Fetterman responding to?
Oh, basically, like, the Republicans are, you know, still like whoring themselves out for Trump and the lawsuits and stuff like that, and just, you know, and he's just like, at this point, he's just calling them simps. He's like simping, like, they're simping pretty hard, and it's just like, no, I mean, it's exactly what they're doing. I mean, so I watched a really good clip of Vosh, like, last month, like, talking about, like, how Trump pretty much treats his base like simps, like, with all the fucking fundraising emails that he sends out and just blasting these people with, like, fucking 800% and 1,000% matches. And Vosh has, like, a whole entire, like, catalog of every single, like, fundraising email. They send out, like, 8 or 9 of these a day. And he's just like, dude, he's just treating these people as simps at this point. Like, he's not even, like, campaigning to raise money. He's just treating these people as, like, they're fucking simps. And that's exactly what the Republicans are doing here. They're still simping hard for Trump. Like, it is just, like, you know, like, in, you know, like, like, are these people going to fucking quit? Like, I thought they would have stopped, like, a couple weeks ago at this point. Nope. Like, all right, they are literally, like, want this country torn the fuck apart.
Like, and like I said, look,
it's all about power.
Right, exactly. And we don't need to rehash everything we said about the civility stuff, like, but it's the same kind of stuff. You do not give these people any kind of rope. Right? It's like we've been saying for a while now on this program, is like, look, what Republicans always say is, they, you know, you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? Well, guess what? Here's your opportunity, right? I'm not helping, right? I'm not helping. And matter of fact, I think that party should be destroyed. For what it has done to our state, what it has done to this country, it needs to die.
And then, I mean, you also then had Kim Ward speaking to the New York Times, saying that, like, her house would be bombed if she didn't put her name on the letter. Like, the letter that was released last Friday that got just monumentally fucked up from the Republican side. Like, I think, like, 20 Republicans who put their names onto the letter quickly pulled it off after the fucking shitstorm or weren't supposed to put their names on the letter and stuff like that. And I mean, and it's just, like, one of the things where I guess, like, what's good about this whole situation, like with Fetterman and, you know, begrudgingly with Shapiro, is that you have Democrats who are partisans, right? They're not progressives. Fetterman, yes, is a progressive. But, like, Shapiro is a partisan. He's not, like, a, you know, liberal Democrat.
Right, and I've got to say, as a partisan, he's been doing a pretty good job of late.
Yeah, as a partisan, he's been really knocking these people around. And it's like, I guess if there's anything that's been coming out of this, it's showing that the two top contenders for, you know, the Senate and the governor's seats are actually fucking having a spine through all this.
Yeah.
Which has been reassuring to see.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's...
Because, like, and also, like, Shapiro's office is filled with, like, former Republican officials. Like, he's doing this with, like, Republicans on his staff.
Yep. So it's like, again, this is, like, you know, this is, like, the same thing I was saying at the, you know, in our first segment today is what Sam Cedar has been, you know, kind of going on and on and about, right? It's like, you don't need to like, Josh Shapiro's politics, right? I mean, he's not a progressive for the most part, right? I mean, he's like kind of like a centrist, you know, kind of, you say, like, you know, this is what the Democratic Party has been, right? In
he's
many
a Montgomery
ways.
County establishment yeah. Democrat.
Exactly.
From the richest county in the state.
Exactly.
Like,
so it's like, this is not about kind of now we're going to make him our champion. He's not. However, right?
His stock is going through the roof right now.
Well, of course it is, because the basic, like, principles of politics, how you do politics, how you do partisan politics. And what I mean by partisan politics, I mean, like, how you win things, right? How you stand for something, how you make the other side pay a price when it's doing horrible things, right? I mean, and the fact that, you know, the fact that Shapiro came out, you know, and called it, like, what was it again? The language he said,
the seditious
agenda. Right. That's what you want to do. Right. Is you call it out. Right. Seditious abuse of the judicial process is what he says. Right. I mean, that's in a brief that's going to the Supreme Court. Right. And guess what? Then he releases it. Right. And guess what? Then people are talking about that and talk. Suddenly you're talking about seditious abuse. Right. And people have a language for it. That's got your baseline stuff. And you don't hand out rope to Republicans saying, like, oh, you know, come on back into the fold now, after they just signed their freaking name on a damn letter that's calling for kind of like an overturn of a Democratic election. I mean, come on. This should be baseline stuff. So, whatever. So, yeah, kudos to Josh Shapiro on that one, I guess. But anyways, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Ghostbusters.
I
didn't even hear about this. So this is
This one popped up across my Twitter feed this week. Apparently, like, the story about one of Giuliani's, like, top witnesses who signed an affidavit, you know, because affidavits mean a lot of things in today's, you know, it holds their weight like currency. Like, this guy is a ghost hunter. He has a trailer out. 5-minute movie trailer of him talking about ghost hunting. I did not find it, but Roxbury did. And he tried poisoning his girlfriend while she was eating pizza by pretty much, like, topping off her pizza with medicine that she was allergic to.
My God.
Like,
and this is Rudy's star witness.
This is the one, yeah.
That follows up. Did you see the woman he had on last week?
The fucking.
Something crazy to it?
The junk lady?
Oh, God, that was great. That was some of the best TV I've seen in a while.
I've been to so many committee hearings. I couldn't tell if she was drunk or if she's just that drunk. Fucking crazy.
She wasn't drunk.
She's just that nuts.
Yep. She was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, what'd you do? Are you? Did you swear to it? Huh? Did you? I was waiting for, this was like right wing My Cousin Vinny. That's what this was. Yeah. It was like, this is like if Marissa Tomei went off the deep end in some QAnon hole, this is where she would end up. Like from.
I was waiting for like twirl the glasses around by like the arm, like the, maybe like put the tip in her mouth, like and just start like, huh?
I couldn't look away, man. I could not look away. I was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
And the Republican who answered the question was just like, fucking, this can't be happening.
And she's like, oh yeah, where are the results? What'd you do? Do something crazy with it? Huh? Did you?
Mm-hmm. I bet you did.
It was great. It's great TV, man.
I saw those things coming out of the floor. You know, the conveyor belt.
Great TV. It was great TV.
Yeah. Like,
where'd they come from? Hmm? Huh?
Oh, and then Rudy has COVID.
Yep. Well, you know, surprise, surprise. I mean, I'm pretty sure he had COVID when he was melting one press conference.
Like, so Shannon put out a tweet. Did Mastriano give Rudy COVID? I think Rudy gave Mastriano COVID.
That'd be my guess.
Like, yeah.
That'd be my guess.
But.
So yeah, so still down the you know, down the crazy hole. Here we go. That's awesome. So this just kind of came up, and Sean put this one on our radar for thing, is that you've got a big mayoral race in Harrisburg. And here we got a new Democrat that's running.
Yeah, recently switched to Democrat. Like, not new Democrat, but... Yeah, so this Republican named Dave Schenkweiler, who runs the Central Penn Business Journal, who founded it, is running for mayor in Harrisburg. He sent out a survey yesterday, which I have right here. So I want to read everyone what the survey says, right? So wanted to ask a city that works survey, period. Every citizen on every block matters.
So, yeah, I saw that, the every block matters slogan.
Yeah, so literally the first piece of mail this guy sent out is a fucking All Lives Matter, like, moniker. And I put that up in the Midtown group, and people are like, well, what exactly is wrong with this? And I was like, if this guy was serious, a serious candidate running for office as a Democrat, you wouldn't be using All Lives Matter. So a couple hours later, I'm digging around this guy's Instagram page, and I see that conservative media firm Churchill Strategies and all their employees are liking the Instagram post from his account.
So you're like, let's follow the trail, shall we?
And also, I think is amazing, his logo like has like big Pornhub energy going. Like, but also is like a fucking Buttigieg mock as well. Like, on some of the signs, like the color schemes, like on some of the photos, like this guy's like trying to rip himself off to be like a Buttigieg. Like, it is like conservative consulting running a Republican and a Democratic primary. And it's just, this guy has millions of fucking dollars. I cannot wait to watch him light this shit on fire. Like, I don't think this guy, I hope to God he doesn't win. Like, this dude bought a mansion on Front Street, like two blocks away from Eric Papenfuss's mansion on Front Street. So they're trying to have like a big dick swinging contest, who has the bigger mansion.
Oh my God.
And this guy wants to come in and become mayor, and he hired a conservative operation to run in a majority, minority city. Yeah. So, like, this is just going to be like an amazing thing to watch over the next few months.
Oh my God.
And literally, his first mailer was All Lives Matter. And his survey is so fucking stupid. Like, it's just like,
my name's Dave Schenkweiler. I say all lives matter. And sure, I like to spend a little time all by myself in front of the computer late at night sometimes. So So vote for me.
And apparently, like, if you have any questions, he does include a cell phone number, and he says you can text or call me.
What is it?
717-599-6229.
Oh, good.
So
very open. Lots of communication there. That's good.
It's on the mailer.
It's on the mailer. Give him a call.
I wonder if that's his personal cell phone number or if it goes to someone else.
I'll tell you, anybody who's listening to the podcast, and you have, say that number again.
717-599-6229.
Right. Call that number. Right. And let us know. Right. Let us know kind of like what that conversation is like. Let us know where that number goes. Right. Just call or text them. Right. And then kind of see what you got. We'd love to hear from you.
I think what I'm going to do is forward my like debt collection calls to that phone number.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Or forward people who are like, I don't feel like talking to that number.
Well, look, there might be a lot of, I don't know, like, you know, like erectile dysfunction kind of websites that you just have to enter a phone number, for example, just for more information. You know, for example, somebody could do that, you know, just say it.
Or
just saying.
Yeah, like just get all of them like text message lists and stuff like that. Get their, hey, it's Christmas season. People need to be spamming.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know who's really good about calling like 75 times a day? Is like people who do
student loan companies.
Oh, student loan companies, water testers, right? If you want to get your kind of like, you know, people who are like they're out in say stores and say, get your water tested for free, and they're trying to sell you some kind of like water softener or something like that. They call a lot. So information would be welcome, I'm sure. Yeah. Everybody needs somebody to represent them, man. All blocks matter, remember?
I'm pretty sure, like, this is only going to be the white blocks in Midtown and Shypoke that matter.
There you go, man.
I don't think Dave's going to be going to the black and brown parts of the city. But no, so Harrisburg has a huge mayoral race coming up. Oh, he's already, like, just putting it out there. Like, this guy's, like, him sitting out with a bunch of, like, four or five black people, like, black students from Harrisburg University. Like, he is definitely hitting, like, these – like just shitty fucking like comms tropes that are just coming from Republican campaigns. Mm-hmm. Like where it's like, yeah, I wouldn't be shitting on this guy's campaign over the next few months.
Nice. And then like, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah. And then there's someone else moving into the city that a longtime Republican, Otto Banks. Otto Banks was a, city councilman in Harrisburg, member of the black community. He lost his seat in 2006 or 2007 when he switched parties to run as a Republican. Left Harrisburg, has been living out in the suburbs of Harrisburg since 2007, so for like 13 years now. And he's a main REACH. He runs the REACH Coalition, which does a lot of stuff on EITC tax credits and OTC tax credits. So now we also have a charter school person moving in, and he set up this fucking broke ass like front group with the former city solicitor who is the reason why Harrisburg School District is in receivership, and this person should have went to jail a couple of times, and then also Chris Bravakos of the Bravo Group, who get like $10 to $12 million a year from charter school companies to do random shit for.
Nice.
So the charter school people are also running. It is just going to be a shit show of a fucking mayoral election here in Harrisburg next year.
Well, there you go. And this is one thing I say that Shanna and Tara said on a show on Out to Coop Live, said, if you think the election is over, nope, the new cycle is just beginning. And now is the time to actually be paying attention to these kind of races.
I'm already getting fucking mailers for 2021.
There you go, man. There you go. So. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to go into this week's last call, where we talk about beer, we talk about space news, and so on, whatever else is going on. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. We'll be back right after this quick break. This is Kevin Mahoney,
editor, and founder of Raging Chicken Press. For the past 7 years, Raging Chicken Press has brought pull-no-punches, progressive reporting, and commentary to the interwebs. Our long-form investigative pieces, stories that no access journalist wants to touch, or rollicking weekly podcasts strive to advance progressive movements and perspectives rooted in the struggles happening across the country or down the street. We've broken national stories and caused our share of discomfort in the halls of power. If we want a progressive future, we need progressive media. And you can help support Pull No Punches, homegrown progressive media today. Become a member of Raging Chicken Press for as little as $5 a month. Simply go to patreon.com/rcpress and choose your membership level. We need to make sure to keep the movement in the media and the media in the movement. Best way you can do that is to become a member of Raging Chicken today by going to patreon.com/rcpress. Thank you for your energy, your encouragement, and your support. Keep up the fight.
Welcome back to Raging Chicken's Altitude Podcast. It's our last call. We talk space news, we talk beer news, and anything else that's on our mind. Frankly, folks, it was a huge week for space news in so many ways. We only really have time to kind of touch on three. I wish I could talk more about this. Like, literally, if I can find the time in the future to just do a separate show that's just dedicated to this stuff, I would love to do it because there's so much to talk about. And remind you that this coming Monday at 12 noon, I'll be on with Paris Marks from the podcast Tech Won't Save Us, and we'll be talking about the importance of kind of a left criticism of big tech and space capitalism. So it'll be pretty cool.
So speaking of big tech.
Yeah.
Did you hear Matt Iglesias with his new book?
No.
America needs a billion people to be competitive in the world fucking market.
Oh, I saw you twiz about this. I was like.
And he pretty much like said that like technology and engineering can save us from the you know, the calamities of having a billion people in the United States to compete on the world level with
so
China
insane.
And India.
It's just so
which insane. Is so fucking stupid.
It is stupid.
Like, literally, if the United States has a billion people, we fucking destroy the planet in no time. Like, we're doing it now.
But it's the number of people in China is really why they're, I mean, there's just nothing, it's just detached from.
But also, like, when he's, like, making, like these tropes and everything. But also then saying that like we can engineer our way out of these problems, like which is completely false. Like we can't engineer our way out of like, you know, over hitting our carrying capacity as a country or, you know, stopping the climate from warming.
No, I mean, yeah, these people. I mean, you know, this is Naomi Klein addressed.
I'm
this
sorry,
stuff.
This is like my rant, but like that's
no,
just
I know,
like,
but this is like Naomi Klein addressed this in kind of like, you know, this changes everything, and she kind of went through like, all this kind of nonsense.
And it's the same garbage we're seeing with the space exploration stuff and everything like that. Like, instead of like fixing the problems, we're looking for the next panacea.
Well, it's great. Well, I mean, this is where I mean, okay, I don't want to get off on a big, you know, political discussion of this or what it's like, but I do think those are different categories, right? I do think they're different. I think that, like,
more like neoliberalization,
right? When you talk about
and like that,
right?
End of thing.
It's like what happened. Here's the biggest danger, right? So this is what we'll talk about a little bit this on Monday and on Outtakes Live too as well when I'm talking to Paris Marks. But it's like the idea is that look. It's a particular mode of exploration that is the problem, right? And what it's there for, right? So with SpaceX, like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, these billionaires, this whole crazy thing that's happening in England right now, which I'll have to talk about at some other time. But the model there is like extractivism on steroids. Right. The whole way what justifies all this stuff, like if you get below Elon Musk's idea about we need to become an interplanetary species and all this other kind of stuff. Look, there's some, you know, if I really want to go down that rabbit hole, it's like, you know, look, it's I do think that this is a direction. Space exploration is a direction that we are going to go as a species. right? And the only question is how it's going to happen, right? And who's going to do it and for what ends and what purposes, right? And we can put that aside. My concern when we're looking at people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, right, is like for the same reason. Remember a few weeks back we talked about this asteroid that they were able to finally take a peek at. And there's all this kind of like nickel in it and things like this. Is, you know, something crazy quadrillion, like something quadrillion, like dollars worth of stuff on that asteroid. It's like, that's the direction we go. So let me just, here's the thing that drives me absolutely insane. There are people whose criticism of Elon Musk and kind of like settling on the moon and settling on Mars, it stops with them saying like, oh yeah, this is just going to be a kind of like an escape hatch for the rich, so that they're going to go and have their little utopia so they can be protected from everybody else, right? First of all, what that fundamentally misses is the rich only have the lifestyle that they do because of all the freaking people that support their lifestyle by their work and their labor. So if you think for one second that it's going to be like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and billionaires sitting there by themselves on Mars, it's not going to be. It's going to be them and a whole bunch of people that are going to be basically indentured servants to those people. That's the mass amount of people that are going there. So my most dystopian versions of that, that's what they're setting up for.
An interplanetary slavery force.
Right. Exactly. There's this, I remember I had this conversation when I was in grad school. One thing, we're reading some of this classical Greek stuff, right? In this rhetoric class that I was taking. And there's this description, I wish I could remember the exact Greek story, but there's this description of these furnaces, right? Out of which that they're forging steel, right? And forging weapons, right? It might have even been a moment in the Iliad, now that I think about it. But so anyways, there's this scene where they're describing this god, right? Or demagogue or whatever it is, but this god in this kind of, you know, by these furnaces, right? With these gigantic, you know, those bellows that kind of like heat up everything. It was in the Iliad. And these giant bellows are kind of like, you know, magic, because he's a god, right? Kind of like, you know, he's making all these bellows kind of operate independently by themselves and fanning the flames in order to produce all these weapons and stuff, right? And I read that, I'm like, holy shit, this is the metaphor for how we think about labor. From the perspective of that, these gods, right? It's like we have this god who's making all this stuff happen, right? Because the gods don't see the labor, right? And so I remember I wrote this thing about this, you know, basically saying like, no, that's the metaphor of what was being hidden in terms of labor in the Greek society, because you had a whole slave society, right? Those freaking bellows were not operating on their own. That was slave labor operating those bellows that were erased out of this and mythologized as a god. That's what that was, right? And it's the same principle here, right? You have these billionaires that are going out and kind of creating a mythology about this kind of future utopia for themselves, right? Because they don't see the labor. They actually believe in their heads that they do this on their own. And I remember when Mitt Romney was running for president. Do you remember this? Mitt Romney was running for president, went to the Wawa. You remember this?
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember
I
was that? There. It's the I same thing. He goes to the Wawa, right? It was at the Wawa that I actually freaking stop at sometimes, like on my way to work. And so
I was actually thinking about that Wawa this week. Like, remember going there, and what a fucking shit show that was, showing up to it. Like,
totally. But he goes like, so Mitt Romney goes up, right? And if you've ever been to Wawa, right? If you're in Pennsylvania, chances are you've been to a Wawa or a Sheetz. It's a very similar situation, right? But if you go to a Wawa, right, you go up to a little screen, and you kind of like you punch in your, you know, your order, and then a little ticket comes out. You go up and you pay for it, right? And after you pay for it, they stamp it. You go back over to the counter, and when they call your number, it appears, right? Well, because he was there campaigning and stuff, he goes up to pay for it. He's talking to people, whatever, like this. He goes back over to the counter to pick up a sandwich, and his sandwich is there. It's all wrapped and everything. He thought it was magic. Oh my God, and he talked about it afterwards. He's like, you order, you punch it over here, and then you go and you pay for it, and it appears, right? Because he can't see labor. they fund, they erase it out of that because they don't see it. It's just like those old British shows. They show you all the servants coming in and you have these kind of like royals are kind of like, you know, having these conversations, virtually ignoring everyone coming up, pouring their tea and all this other kind of stuff. They don't see it. And that's what we're talking about with this, the model of space exploration that you get from Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and those folks. So I said I wasn't going to say all that, but I just said it. So there you go. Having said that, Elon Musk blew up a ship this week.
Capitalism, baby.
But I watched it with my kids, actually. Like, we watched the Starship SN8. So basically, this is the big gigantic rocket that Elon Musk has been promising, the one that's supposed to be going to eventually go to Mars. And it's the first time that they did like a full test. It's not a full test. It's going to 40,000 feet. Right. So, and blast off, then come back down, glide down, do this turn and land back down. Right. And shortly after launch, it was pretty amazing thing to watch. See, the thing goes up, but you have all the cameras. You have cameras that are kind of like inside where the engines are and all this. And you could see that about halfway up to its height, one of the engines kicks off. Right. And then if you're looking at the camera from the outside, you see that one point there's some smoke and stuff. You see inside there's something that catches fire and all this kind of thing. So then it comes back down. Right. It turns sideways and it's kind of gliding down towards the Earth. And then it has to kind of do this last minute kind of flip. Right. Where it kind of flips on and puts the engines kind of pointed down. And then you have those retro rockets that basically blast down. So it comes down to a soft landing. Well, by the time it did that, it was down to only one of three engines. Right, so the eventual one is going to have, I think, five engines, the Raptor engines, but this one was down to one, and so that wasn't enough to slow it down. So there's all these people like across the way, like cheering, it's coming down, all this stuff. That thing comes down so fast. You're actually watching the footage from SpaceX or from NASA. You see how it's coming down way too fast. You know, it's whatever, it hits the ground, and it's like freaking fireball. Right? But the best thing was watching the kind of like the people who were kind of like I said, kind of across the water. Watching it, they're cheering, like, oh my god, it's landing. They see the fireball and everyone's going like, oh, it was great. So whatever. So that happened this week. But Elon Musk, of course, comes out, and because this has been SpaceX's MO, so they go out, they blow up a bunch of shit and they get the data from it, and they use that data to go, you know, to reassemble it. Like, you know, as opposed to NASA kind of does everything super, super careful testing and all that kind of stuff going forward. So anyways, the other thing, the bigger news though this week was that NASA. So they're all going forward with the kind of Artemis mission to the moon, right? So you know, Jim Bridenstine is kind of one of his last acts as the head of NASA. Basically, brings out and they kind of announce the 18 astronauts that are tapped for the Artemis mission. So you know, check that out. The link in the show notes today. It was pretty wild to see, right? You talk about a kind of departure from the past. That you had, they said that, you know, when the Artemis, when it goes back to the moon, you get people back on the moon again. It's gonna be the first time a woman goes to the moon. And if you look at the list of people that are gonna be the astronauts in training, there's 18 of them are not gonna go on that first mission. But they're half men and half women, right? Extraordinarily diverse in terms of the makeup of them. It's pretty wild to see. And so if you think about, you take that whole idea as though, you know, you gotta see it to be it. Right, that when we're talking about in politics, you can see what a lot of this could mean for kind of like a whole generation of people coming up. Right, it's not just the white man on the moon, like, you know, Gil Scott Heron's got Whitey on the moon. Right, suddenly you're going to see kind of a whole new direction. And I'm a firm believer that what we're seeing here in terms of the space industry, what's happening in the space industry, this is not going to let up. Right, that this is going to be. It's going to be happening kind of in the near future, depending, no matter who's going to be, you know, with Biden coming in, this is still going to be going on. I think the emphasis is going to be too strong. So at least it was great to see that. And then finally, on our space news, actually, there's the Israeli space program thinks aliens are out there. That's actually a gift from Sean this week. Yeah, Sean actually sent me something. This. So do check that out. If you want to know, Israel's got the goods on the aliens.
I was doom scrolling and that popped up and it was like, oh, my heaven loves this.
So. Yeah, check out that article. You want some fun. If it's there. But they're serious. It's not a joke. Last thing I want to say, I'll give kind of give my my shout out to the Free Will for this week. I went and I picked up four packs. I hadn't had like beer in a while; it just it had been out, and I was like, you know, I've been so grading and stuff like that. I haven't really been thinking too much about it, but when I saw this black currant chocolate mash come up, I was like, okay, I got to do it. Because this they had a version of this last year. And it is so good. I admit I had one last night after I finished my grading for the night. It is a sour ale with blackcurrant, chocolate, and milk sugar. It comes in at 7.5 ABV. It is so good. They also, I don't remember if they had this last year or not, to be honest with you. They have a pumpkin pie mash. And I know Sean is a believer that anything with pumpkin in it is not beer and should not be drunk by anybody.
Pour it down the drain.
It should be poured down the drain. However, this is there. If you're looking for a good pumpkin beer, this is with a sour one. So it's not like a lot of that stuff that you get out there. It's actually really good. From my perspective, Sean would hate it. But this is a sour ale with pumpkin, sweet potato, cinnamon, vanilla, nutmeg, allspice, and milk sugar. Again, it's 7.5 ABV. We already talked about Special Cookie. I picked up one of that stuff. Special Cookies, that's really good. That's available there too as well. Comes in a little more heftier at, 10.8 ABV. But it's actually this was a good season for it. And the one, I haven't had it yet, I'll admit it to you, but this was really intriguing. It's a new beer. It is a hazy pale ale with orange juice. It's called Under Dawn's Red Sun. That's a little lighter, comes in at 5.7 ABV. It looks really good. There's been kind of some good reviews of it if you look on their website. You can check out those and any other ones. You just go to freewillbrewing.store. That's freewillbrewing.store. If you order, comes at over $85, so you get together with some other folks, you want to kind of order some from Free Will, they will ship it for you for free if that comes in over $85. Or you can order it and pick it right up the store. They've got no contact thing where you, or not quite no contact, but you go there, you can call them, they'll bring it out to you and so on. They'll prep your order ahead of time and have it ready for you. So that's what I got this week, Sean. What do you got for the closeout of the day for Lady's Last Call?
Nothing really too much going on. Just enjoying this, warm weather. And just seeing some tweets of more maskless Christmas parties being held at the White House pop up across my timeline.
You know what? Have you seen the Santa Claus shit that's going on?
What?
So, normally, right, you have like...
Are you talking about like how Santa Claus is like walled off at the fucking... malls and stuff like that?
Well, yeah, but now what's happening as like a sign of resistance and reclaiming our constitutional rights, they're having these kind of like Santa parties.
Yes. So there's one of these happening in our fucking area this weekend.
Holy crap.
I think it's getting canceled. They're holding a breakfast with Santa. It's this group called Entrepreneurs Against Tyranny. It's ran against the people who were involved with like the shit in Lebanon County, the restaurant owners in Lebanon County. And they are going around the state like holding these fucking fundraisers, these events. I don't know who's pocketing the money. It has to be like them.
Yeah.
That are doing it. And like, yeah, they're having a fucking pancakes and breakfast, pancakes and pictures with Santa this weekend at a senior living facility New Cumberland. Like we're not a senior living, a senior community center.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is just that's what it is. It's just like a center.
Yeah.
But like, they're fucking like this weekend there's a bunch of them going on. So
I just couldn't believe it. I saw they were popping up in my Facebook feed. I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, and because I was looking, I can't remember what, when you go to like some of like the local stuff, and then you go to the event page, and then you'll see all the events come up. And I saw all these events. Like, what the hell is this? I'm like, holy shit, we're really going to do this, aren't we? We're really going to do this. So whatever. We're not at 300,000 deaths yet, but you know what? We will by the weekend. So
it's amazing how, like, it's just like, I know. I mean, like, people are then tweeting at this congressman who was there last night, like, hey, 2.5 weeks from now, we're going to be saying thoughts and prayers as this guy gets inundated with a fucking tube down his neck.
Well, do you ever know the Thompson Toyota people?
No.
So Thompson Toyota is based out of Doylestown, and the guy, I don't know a ton about the guy, right? Who started Thompson Toyota, but it's like this huge thing. It's where I got my car, actually. They've been, I mean, their service is, you know, again, their service has been fantastic, whatever, like this. The guy's probably, I'm sure he's a Republican or whatever, it's like this. But, you know, he's donated so much to, like the local area. So there's these like historic restaurants, for example. Apparently he loves like really good food and things like this. There's this one place, it's called the Black Bass. There's another one, I think it was called like the Golden Pheasant or Goose, something like this. But it's kind of like over by the river, right, along kind of River Road, as kind of you go more north. And you know, they were kind of at risk of going out of business, so part of what he did is he kind of bought them, right, and basically, you know, ran them for a long time, you know, basically built them up, kind of like did all sorts of improvements to them and running them, kind of basically either at cost or a loss, at least for years, right, in order to kind of preserve them and things like this. And so, you know, he's got that kind of like weight in the community, and people really respect him. And it's like, you know, it's a good deal. Anyways, we just found out last night he died of COVID, right? You know, again, I don't know how he got it or anything like this, but it's like, it is freaking everywhere. I mean, I get pings from,
I mean, like,
from my schools.
My aunt suffered a heart attack this week. You know, she's out of the hospital right now. Thankfully, everything, she's okay and on the road to recovery. But like, my parents are talking about like visiting her, like it's like Christmas. Oh, we'll just go down and go visit. I'm like, no, like you can't. And she's like, well, what are you talking about? I'm like, you're living this normal life with Christmas, but we'll be careful. No, like that's like the whole point is like to stay home and just like
right.
beat it through my parents' head. Like no, we shouldn't have. First of all, I don't want the Republican members of my family, extended family, over for Christmas, because I know how fucking crazy they are when it comes to their politics.
Right.
On the one side, and I guarantee you, none of them are following the mask mandates and stuff like that, or don't believe that's real. My one cousin is like extreme conspiracy theorist and has been for years.
Yeah.
And it's like I tell my parents this, and it's just like, no, you cannot do that. Like, you can't be visiting someone who just came out of the hospital who had a heart attack,
right,
during a pandemic. Like, sorry. Like, I know someone who everyone in their family got sick from going to a funeral. Like, at what point do you like, yeah, it's getting to that point where people are just not caring, or I'm not gonna say not caring, but a lot more relaxed about it.
Yeah. Crazy, man. Crazy. So, I mean, the people, please, please, please be safe. I mean, seriously. Is that, you know, it's just like, it's everywhere. And this is the first time I think I've actually been seriously worried, you know. So, be safe. Cool. So, you got anything going on special for the weekend? Going to go out and visit lots of people?
About to go out for a walk, enjoy the weather. That's about it.
Yeah, that's about me.
Enjoy it while it lasts. I've been making some purchases. Well, no, I mean, like, got some more like sweatpants. I'm gonna try to keep being active over the winter, even if it's just going out once or twice a week versus like four or five times a week. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just keep somewhat. So
oh, when you said you got sweatpants, I thought you were going to say that you wanted to make sure that everybody understood that you work from home at your own leisure.
Oh, I do. Absolutely.
You want to kind of foster that image is all I'm saying.
So I actually bought like a couple pair of black jeans over the fall, which first time, you know, I set like just – it's just like gone straight punk mode at that point. Black jeans, black shoes.
There you go. There you go, man.
It feels good having to work in, you know, sweatpants, pajamas, underwear, no clothes at all.
That's an image I didn't want burned in my mind this morning. Thank you very much. All right. Well, cool, man. Well, hey, you know, enjoy the weekend and stay safe. It does look pretty good. I'm going to try to get outside with my kids a little bit, do some work around the house, and then back to grading, because I'm in that hole right now. So
I'll catch you later.
All right, man, take it easy. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. Remind you, you can become a patron as little as $5 a month by going to patreon.com/rcpress. And don't forget, join us on Out to Coop Live at noon on Monday with Paris Marks